Sankirtan Yajna Ki Go Premanande. All glories to the Desamo devotees. All glories to the Desamo devotees. All glories to the Desamo devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we're reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text 25. 25, yeah? Okay. Idanim Dharma Padas Te Satya Nivartayed Yata Ta Jigrikshati Adharma Yam Anrite Naidita Kali Idanim Dharma Padaste
Idanim Dharma Padaste
Satyam Nirvatayed Yata
Satyam Nirvatayed Yata
Tam Jigrikshatya Dharmo Yam
Tam Jigrikshatya Dharmo Yam
Anrite Naidita Kali
Anrite Naidita Kali
Idanim dharma padaste.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Satyam nirvartayet yata.
Satyam nirvartayet yata.
Tam jigrikshat yadharmoyam.
Tam jigrikshat yadharmoyam.
Anritenaiti takale.
Anritenaiti takale.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Satyam nirvartayet yata.
Satyam nirvartayet yata.
Tam jigrikshat yadharmoyam. Anritenaiti takale.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Satyam nirvartayet yata.
Satyam nirvartayet yata.
Tam jigrikshati adharmayam.
Tam jigrikshati adharmayam.
Anvritenai dittaha kale.
Anvritenai dittaha kale.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Satyam nirvartayet yatah.
Satyam nirvartayet yatah.
Tam jigrikshati adharmayam.
Tam jigrikshati adharmayam.
Anvritte naidita kali.
Anvritte naidita kali.
Someone else.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Satyam
nirvartayet
yatah.
Satyam nirvartayet yatah. Anvritte naidita kali.
Matajis.
Idanim dharma padaste.
Satyam nirvartayet yatah.
Satyam nirvartayet yatah.
Tam
jigrikshat adharmoyam.
Tam
jigrikshat adharmoyam.
Okay, just trying to look something up. Just a little point of interest, but anyway, somehow didn't get it. Oh, okay, got it. The grace of the Lord. Right, so, word for word. Idanim.
Idanim.
At the present moment.
At the present moment.
Dharma.
Dharma.
O personality of religion.
O personality of religion.
Pada.
Pada.
Leg.
Leg.
Te.
Te.
Of you.
Of you.
Satya.
Satya.
Truthfulness.
Truthfulness.
Nirvartayet.
Nirvartayet.
Hobbling along somehow or other.
Hobbling along somehow or other.
Yata.
Yata.
Whereby.
Whereby.
Ta.
Ta.
That.
Yes.
Jigrikshati.
Jigrikshati.
Trying to destroy.
Trying to destroy.
Adharma.
Adharma.
The personality of irreligion.
The personality of irreligion.
Aya.
Aya.
This.
This.
Anritena.
Anritena.
By deceit.
By deceit.
Edita.
Edita.
Flourishing.
Flourishing.
Kali.
Kali.
Quarrel personified.
Quarrel personified.
Translation. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness. and you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified, Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The principles of religion do not stand on some dogmas or man-made formulas, but they stand on four primary regulative observances, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. The mass of people must be taught to practice these principles from childhood. Austerity means to accept voluntary things which may not be very comfortable for the body, but are conducive for spiritual realization. For example, fasting. Fasting twice or four times a month is a sort of austerity which may be voluntarily accepted for spiritual realization only, and not for any other purposes, political or otherwise. Fastings which are meant not for self-realization, but for some other purposes, are condemned in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Similarly, cleanliness is necessary both for the mind and for the body. Simply bodily cleanliness may help to some extent, but cleanliness of the mind is necessary, and it is effected by glorifying the Supreme Lord. No one can cleanse the accumulated mental dust without glorifying the Supreme Lord. A godless civilization cannot cleanse the mind because it has no idea of God. And for this simple reason, people under such a civilization cannot have good qualifications, however they may be materially equipped. We have to see things by their resultant action. The resultant action of human civilization in the age of Kali is dissatisfaction. So everyone is anxious to get peace of mind. This peace of mind was complete in the Satya age because of the existence of the above-mentioned attributes of the human beings. Gradually, these attributes have diminished in the Treta Yuga to 3/4, in the Dwapara to 1/2, and in this age of Kali to 1/4, which is also gradually diminishing on account of prevailing untruthfulness. By pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. By too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. And by too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all description. Idaniam dharmapadaste satyam nirvatayed yata tam jigrikshat yadharmoyam amritenaidita kali. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified, Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikapa Tribhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So, yes. So, this is, who is this speaking now? Sudha Goswami. Parikshit, Maharaj Parikshit, yeah. Is addressing the personality of religion and explaining, clarifying for all of us the extremely unfortunate standards and conditions of things in this Kali Yuga, that in the Satyayuga, these four things, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, they're completely there. Actually, in the Satyayuga, at the beginning of the Satyayuga at least, it's practically like the spiritual world. Everyone is essentially completely pure devotee, and all the standards are just absolutely perfect in spiritual, in any terms. And it's just, it's just practically like Vaikuntha, at least, if not Goloka Vrindavan, at least like Vaikuntha. But gradually there's a deterioration, as Srila Prabhupada's explaining here, to the point that in Kali Yuga, the only one of these four principles which is really existing practically at all is truthfulness, austerity, cleanliness, mercy. By the time Kali Yuga simply begins, or Dwapara Yuga ends, by the time comes to that point, austerity, cleanliness, and mercy have basically been wiped out of existence. Just out of existence. And if there is ever any sort of apparent existence of any of these three, austerity, cleanliness, and mercy, then it's generally, it's only there for some ulterior purposes, motives, to achieve some mundane goal. Mundane meaning for the personal satisfaction and sense gratification of whoever is apparently manifesting one of these three qualities to whatever degree. Like mercy, of course, mercy is a very important one. The mission of Lord Chaitanya is one of mercy, so it's very, very important. And in this Kali Yuga, we do find people who ostensibly, superficially, apparently, are trying to be merciful. And, of course, this means the charitable people and the charitable organizations and so on like that, and they're apparently trying to do something. But if one analyzes a little deeper, one finds that they're not really trying, generally, they're not really trying to actually be merciful as such. That these organizations, I remember several years ago, maybe four, five, six, something like that, there was a scandal in Germany that some welfare organization was collecting money in the name of doing something to help someone, but somehow it was figured out, and they were taken to court, that only something like 1%, just ridiculously small percentage of the money they were collecting was going to actually help whoever the people were who it was all going on in the name of, and the rest was going to administrative costs, which was largely wages. And the people collecting and managing and all that aspect of, I mean, just everybody who was doing anything in the course of the activities of this organization, everyone was getting paid as much as people in some just ordinary business, which is just openly trying to make money, as much as they're getting paid. So, and some of them, anyway, it's so in other words, it was quite a good business. And the people were really doing it because it was quite a good business. And maybe, just maybe even an easier way to get money than somehow or other having to compete in the business world and everything that involves. So that's an example, at least. That's an example. So, or austerity. When I came to South Africa, I found out about how the people do kavadi and fire walking and things like that, you know, where there's some austerity. But why are they doing it? The idea is so they get something material. So it's just, they just want something material. That's all. So this is Kali Yuga, and it's fairly typical in principle of what goes on. And even if they do something which may actually be, for example, somewhat merciful, but is heavily polluted, like the late Mother Teresa, who's famous, extremely famous, for helping sort of elderly street people conclude their lives, not just literally on the street, but sort of trying to take care of them, give them a bed to sleep in and feed them something. She was feeding them meat, including cow flesh. So even though it's some sort of attempt to be merciful, but it's polluted. It's just, it's a great shame, actually. So this is Kali Yuga. As the Bhagavatam says, as Shukadev Goswami says, Kaliya Doshinide Rajan, that this Kali Yuga is just an ocean of fault. It's not like it's an ocean of many things, and there's some faults there, but it's actually just an ocean of fault. That's all. And once you dive in, you're just in the middle of fault, and it's just all over you and all around you, and that's Kali Yuga. And even now, it's not so bad as it will become. And particularly at this time now, it's not even really... Anyway, it's sort of the, what would you say, like a marginal period. There's a period, it's called Sandhi. Sandhi, of course, is fairly well-known Sanskrit term. We sing every day at Mangala Arati if we are there. In the last verse of the Gurvastikam, Dhyayams tu vams tasya yashas tri sandhyam. Sandhi, tri sandhi. At the three sandhis, we should glorify the spiritual master. So sandhi means like a period, a particular time when three periods of two periods of time meet, the meeting point where you can't exactly necessarily say it's the one or it's really the other. It's just some sort of interim position. It's called a sandhi. Even literally it means meeting point or meeting place, like that. So right now here's Maharaj Parikshit speaking. Lord Krishna's left this planet, so it's not Dwapara Yuga any longer. Kali Yuga has not really started so much, because here's Kali. He hasn't really entered yet. I mean, he's entering, but he hasn't become established yet. He's going to, by the mercy of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit will give him some places to live, and he'll take up residence, and then Kali Yuga really sort of officially begins. So this is like a bit of a Sunday period in between. But already, even though Kali Yuga is not, the onslaught has not really started in the real sense, but still it's bad. As Maharaj Parikshit says here, speaking to Dharma, the personality of religion and the form of the bull, that your three legs, representing austerity, cleanliness, and mercy, have already just been cut off. They have just been removed completely. And the other leg, truthfulness, well, Kali is working on that. Yeah, he's already starting. He's already started. He's cutting. And Kali Yuga has not really, truly begun. And, yes, so Kali's already working on the truthfulness and trying to eliminate it. And that's at that time. What to speak of 5,000 years later, where, you know, if one analyzes, if one really looks into things and really considers, tries to consider what is going on or what may be going on, like in the world political situation, even the world religious situation, and the world business situation, financial situation, all these types of things. If you look, you know, every now and then someone gets caught for doing something and it's a scandal and it's big news. But someone wrote a book, again, several years ago. They got caught for doing something. And they wrote a book which exposed, or tried to expose, other people, quite a number, who had done more or less exactly the same thing, but didn't get caught. And the point was that this is just rampant. It is just rampant. But of course, the laws, which are oftentimes made by criminally minded people anyway, oftentimes the laws, they are weighted in favor of the criminals. Yeah. Like, you know, it might sound like a useless piece of information, but in Thailand, they've just had elections. They haven't figured out the results yet. But it was clear from the outset who was going to win. This one lady who got the Nobel Peace Prize a while ago is just like overwhelmingly popular amongst the, you know, demoniac population. But anyway, but the previous military government, who, you know, trying to keep control and, you know, really pretty oppressive, they made a law that anyone who has a relative who's not local cannot become the president. And her husband was British, he passed away, and the two sons had British passports. So you see, just custom made. How would you like to have a law made just for you? It's a law for the whole country, for millions of people, but it's just for you, actually. It's Kali Yuga. It's Kali Yuga. So, truthfulness is still there, but it's been under attack from the outset of Kali Yuga, and it's just more and more under attack. It's just more and more. It's really terrible. But the thing is, as is explained here, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that these three have already gone: austerity, cleanliness, mercy. Only truthfulness is left. And Prabhupada doesn't directly address the point here, but it's an interesting little point. Just little sort of tidbit of information is that, you know, it seems that if in Kali Yuga Only truthfulness is remaining, and the others are gone. And it's not like one quarter of each is remaining. Like in Satya Yuga, all were there completely. In Treta Yuga, all were there 75%. In Dwapara Yuga, all were there 50%. And now in Kali Yuga, they're all there 25%. No, only one is left. Yeah, and that's truthfulness. So the point is, it appears that in each yuga, one is lost. And I just stumbled across this. It's actually in Chaitanya Mangala of Lochan Das Thakur. It's a discussion between Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya's close associate, and Damodar Pandit, also a close associate. So Murari Gupta says the following, that in Satya Yuga, for the four of them, mercy, cleanliness, austerity, truthfulness, Treta Yuga has three, mercy, cleanliness, and truthfulness. So what's lost then?
Austerity.
Austerity is lost. By the end of Satya Yuga, by the time Treta Yuga begins, austerity has actually gone, pretty much. Yeah. And then Dwapara Yuga has two, cleanliness and truthfulness, which means mercy's gone. Yeah. And Kali Yuga has one, truthfulness. Yeah, so just interesting little point. Chaitanya Mangala is basically authoritative. Scripture is just an interesting little thing. So then Srila Prabhupada starts examining these different principles. Austerity. Well, Prabhupada says, the mass of people must be taught to practice these principles from childhood. Austerity means to voluntarily accept something which may not be comfortable for the body, but which is conducive for spiritual realization. And what example does he give devotees?
Like fasting.
Fasting. That Prabhupada suggests fasting twice or four times a month is a sort of austerity, you know, particularly in Radharadnath temple where there's so much Mahaprasadam and just so much prasadam, and sure, it's difficult. But anyway, so it may be, Prabhupada says, voluntarily accepted for spiritual realization only, and not for any other purposes, political or otherwise. Political, Srila Prabhupada specifically, well, elsewhere at least, he, you know, very directly points out, like, the prime example of someone who accepted austerity for specifically political purposes. That was Mahatma Gandhi, who was already a married man. He was perhaps in his 30s, I think, something 35, something like that. So he's a young man, basically, still. But at that point, somewhere in his 30s, even though he's a married man, he decided to become celibate. And from what we understand, at least what we're told, he actually became celibate for the rest of his life, even though he was married and his wife was very faithful, etc. So, but why did he do that? He specifically did it, and he stated that he did it, to become powerful enough to drive the British out of India. And, you know, with some pretty significant help from some friends, He succeeded. I mean, one way or the other, the British got driven out, that's for sure. And Gandhi got most of the credit for it, although Srila Prabhupada said that it was more a man called Subhas Chandra Bose, Bengali, who was, you know, Gandhi had took up this whole program of non-violence. Subhas Chandra Bose was very violent, armed revolution, and just, you know, just kill them and just drive them out in that way. And he, anyway, Srila Prabhupada said that he really influenced the British more, that, you know, this man is much more dangerous, and they reached a point where they had to go. But anyway, in regard to austerity as such, for political purposes, Gandhi is such a classic example. And even Prabhupada also made the point, Gandhi was famous for being sort of externally very religious. Every day, he and his close associates would have a prayer meeting. They would sing a bhajan in the evening and then have like some discourse, Bhagavad Gita, whatever it may be, something like that. But Prabhupada said, actually, all they did, they would sing a bhajan and then talk politics. Okay, so, but as an austerity, fasting for spiritual purposes, like, in other words, what would that mean, really, in practical terms? That would mean so that you can increase your Krishna conscious activities. That's really what it means. Not just for the sake of being austere and just some self-denial, but to get some time and give your attention more to Krishna conscious activities. And cleanliness is necessary both for the mind and for the body. Prabhupada makes the point, bodily cleanliness may help to some extent to create a sort of, you know, more conducive bodily environment, you could say, bodily sort of condition or atmosphere on the bodily platform for spirituality, or at least the mode of goodness. So Prabhupada says it may help to some extent, but cleanliness of the mind is necessary. It's actually, you have to do it. If you don't do it, well, then it's basically a keep your body as clean as you like, but it'll basically be a waste of time. Yeah. And how to cleanse the mind? What did Srila Prabhupada say? Glorify the Lord, yes. No one can cleanse the accumulated mental dust, the dirt, in other words, without glorifying the Supreme Lord. You know, and anyone who says that they are doing it, that they have some program for purifying the mind and becoming free from lust, anger, greed, and all these material attitudes. Anyone who says they are becoming free from them through following some program other than glorifying the Supreme Lord, either they're just bluffing or they're just in ignorance and they cannot really understand themselves and what's happening with themselves and whether they really are becoming cleansed or not. Because let's face it, the modes of material nature act on people differently in terms of their karma. And some people, in terms of their karma, they're just more inclined towards the mode of goodness. It's just a reality. Some people, due to their activities in previous lifetimes, they're born with bodies and subtle bodies, mental bodies, which adjust more in the mode of goodness. And so for people like that to be vegetarian and even possibly celibate and these other types of sattvic qualities, sattvic things, it's not a problem. It's easy. It just comes to them naturally because that's just by their karma. That's just the way they are at this point. Whereas others, their karma is such that the modes of nature working on them in such ways that to avoid like intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex life, gambling and associated activities, to avoid any of them, even maybe on a daily basis, they just can't do it. Because the modes are just forcing them. They're just forcing them so much. So, yeah. So if one meets anyone who professes to or even is actually avoiding particularly these four main sinful activities, meat eating, etc., then it's basically, but they're not chanting the holy names, then basically they've just got some good karma for the time being, or they're bluffing, yes, or something like that. So yeah, cleanliness, that internal cleanliness of the consciousness, it has to be there. It obviously has to be there. It's such a focal point. So, and Prabhupada goes on that a godless civilization or godless individuals, a godless civilization cannot have good qualities in any substantial form, and a godless person cannot really have also, unless they just by, not exactly accident, but from the past, just kind of sattvic. And what is the result of that then? What is the result of this godlessness, this unwillingness to glorify the Lord, as stated here by Srila Prabhupada? What does he say? And not for those who are looking at on their telephones. But Prabhupada says there's a particular quality, bad or unfortunate, which manifests in civilization and in the individuals within civilization when there's godlessness and on the basis of that no glorification of the Lord. What is it? What is it?
Dissatisfaction.
See, he got it. Dissatisfaction. Yeah. If you don't glorify the Lord, means you can't be cleaning your mind. Your mind is dirty. It's just in an unpleasant state. And the only possible natural result will be dissatisfaction. No peace of mind. Everyone's anxious to get peace of mind. Oftentimes, when we distribute books, I remember myself many years ago distributing books every day, all day. And one of the main things we would say to people to get them to take a book is that this will help you get peace of mind. And with so many people, just so many, it would click. It would resonate with them that, oh, yeah, right. And many of them would take a book, many of them, because people on the material level will not glorify the Lord, and because they don't glorify the Lord, their minds are unclean, And because their minds are unclean, they're dissatisfied. And peace of mind, it appears like, you know, how can we attain that? Very desirable. Yes. So then Prabhupada goes through these four: austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, and lists out the different sort of material phenomena which spoil each of these four particular good qualities. Prabhupada says that austerity is spoiled by pride. Now, elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada does give slightly different versions of this list. And in this case, well, let's just go through all of them. So by pride, austerity is spoiled. By too much affection for female association or just illicit sex, cleanliness is spoiled. Intoxication, mercy is spoiled. Lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. Pride spoils austerity. One of the greatest forms of pride, which Prabhupada mentions directly elsewhere, one of the greatest forms of pride is meat eating. How proud must you be if you think that some other living entity should just be killed just so you can eat? How much pride is that? That I'm so important, I must live, of course. But this other living entity is just like of zero importance, or less than zero. So it's a good thing to kill them and eat them. They're doing a nice thing. So, yeah, that's a sort of a perspective on that. By pride, which sort of culminates in meat eating, austerity is spoiled. Intoxication, mercy. Well, elsewhere also, Prabhupada, I mean, there's some flexibility here. By meat eating also, mercy is spoiled. That's fairly obvious. So anyway, certainly elsewhere Srila Prabhupada gives a list where the four sinful activities of meat eating, intoxication, etc., where they are, each one is lined up as being the cause of the loss of one of these four. Yeah. Elsewhere Prabhupada says that through illicit sex, austerity is lost. And it's all correct, it's all accurate. Yeah, it's not just that they're just limited. One of the activities is limited to just having one type of effect. It's a whole network of horror, really. Yeah. So what to do? What to do? That's the real question. Prabhupada says the revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all description. Headed by these, but there are others. There's just a whole range. So therefore we have to be Krishna conscious, and we have to give Krishna consciousness. That's actually the point. First of all, of course, we have to be Krishna conscious. If we're not Krishna conscious, well, everything will just be lost. But in the course of being Krishna conscious, we have to give Krishna consciousness. Because simply if we just are Krishna conscious on our own, in and of ourselves, in our little worlds, then it won't influence the rest of the world. And as Kali Yuga goes on, things will just get so bad that us trying to maintain our own little Krishna consciousness will probably just be swept away or killed or, you know, banned or locked up. And then it'll be extremely difficult. So in fact, part of being Krishna conscious is you have to give it. You cannot really say, not in really proper substantial terms, that I am Krishna conscious if you are not giving Krishna consciousness. Yes. Yeah. So therefore we as the devotees, the aspiring devotees, we have to really try to give Krishna consciousness. And in one sense, for us, that is the austerity. Get out of our nice little comfort zone in our nice temple and just get out amongst the, you know, very bewildered conditioned souls. And despite all of their objections and lack of interest and sometimes worse, have to try to give them Krishna consciousness. That's austere. In fact, it's so austere. One of the great slogans when I joined, wow, what a slogan, was that Prabhupada had said recently at that time that one day on the streets distributing books is equal to 10,000 years of austerities in the Himalayas. Right. So, yeah, just see. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes.
What caused the other pillars of religion to diminish Kali Yuga from the
Well, the thing is, you know, that in a sense it's kind of self-evident, and like in terms of what Prabhupada said in the purport, by too much pride, austerity was lost. So it would appear to be sort of relatively self-evident that, you know, like in whatever was the first one that got lost, what did Lochan Das Thakur say? First one lost was what was it? Austerity. Somehow pride developed. And that the soft, saintly nature was undermined. And some pride arose. Yeah, some pride arose, something like that. And then, you know, that was the end of Satyuga, then end of Dwapara Yuga. Next was mercy. So, you know, some mercy was lost. People becoming very attached to opulence. So something like that. Maybe not exactly just as simple, but a few different influences coming in which act on the particular quality in question.
Maharaj, loss of these principles occur every cycle, or is it only this year?
Yeah, sure. It's a history repeats itself. So it's basically like that.
So we don't learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. It's a very important quality of a devotee to be able to learn from their mistakes. And if we're unable to, if we're repeating mistakes, it's a bad sign, and we should really, you know, take it seriously and try to address it. Yeah. Because even Prabhupada said, or is said to have said, that it's all right to make a mistake as long as you learn from it and you don't do it again. So, you know, in other words, to make the same mistake twice is not all right. Make a mistake one time, it can be forgiven. It's Kali Yuga, and we, you know, we're not very clever. But then the real, the sort of important thing is not so much that you made a mistake and that's bad, but because it's just expected in Kali Yuga. But the real crucial thing is, you know, to make a mistake could be kind of overlooked or at least not worried about too much. But when you repeat it, that's a problem. Yeah. And if you repeat and repeat and you just, just regularly on and on repeating, that's really a problem. And you just got to do something. Otherwise, when the time of death comes, you know, if you haven't dealt with your deeper anathas, when the time of death comes, you know, there's quite a likelihood you'll have to take birth again and go through it all again. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You said that we are drowned in this age of Kali of so much of sin.
Right.
Yet also, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada has given us the mercy of 16 rounds in this age of Kali and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtana movement in this age of Kali. And if we just really try to take that mercy, like the sages of the past, we get back home.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for bringing up a bright note. Yes. Well, it's a fact that people get drowned and people are drowned. Yeah, and they are drowning more and more. But by the mercy of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna consciousness is easily available and, in a sense, easily practicable. And that's what he says, Klo Doshanadeya Rajan Asti Heko Mahadguna, that it's an ocean of fault, but there's one Mahadguna, great quality, Kirtanada Eva Krishnasya, simply by Krishna Kirtan, Mukta Sangha, Parambrajit, you can get free from it all and go to the supreme abode. That's the good news. The bad news is, watch out. Just watch out. Just because we are devotees now, you know, you just gotta watch out, because Maya may test in a more sort of dramatic way sometime. Yeah. Yes.
Mm. I was thinking that sometimes in devotional service we can get quite busy and then not perhaps make time or take time to be able to reflect on the mistake and therefore maybe not even realize we're making a mistake, because there's so many ways to deflect responsibility from ourselves.
That's true.
So how do we, in the process, is it to build in time for reflection?
Well, the thing is, you know, one thing is that if we're so busy, if we get particularly busy, there's a great danger of becoming influenced by the mode of passion, that we must just get things done and that sort of idea. So, if we see that's happening to us, you know, there may be important things which need to be done, but we're just so focused on achieving them that we lose sight of our sadhana and our just, you know, our good sense in Krishna consciousness, then we should understand that this is a dangerous situation and we have to try to do something about it. Maybe get some help or something. But Srila Prabhupada sort of like recommended or emphasized we should try to be lazy intelligent and not just active intelligent. So if we see that we're actually, or maybe someone else, like if someone close who knows us and, you know, we support each other spiritually, if somehow it comes to our attention that we're doing like that, then we really have to do something about it. Otherwise, you know, you can make offenses easily and or your chanting will suffer, which is offensive. And you may offend other people, like particularly if you're trying to get something done, but the other devotees, you ask them to help and they sort of, oh, you know, I've got something else to do, but you know they don't really. And then you may start developing a negative attitude towards other devotees. And what was your point, though? How to, what
to? Just to incorporate reflection.
Okay. Well, yes. We definitely have to have some sort of program of reflection, and if we see we're losing it, then that should be, you know, like a red flag that we have to do something about it. Yeah. But it's good, you know, lazy intelligence should not just lead to just laziness. A lazy intelligent person can get a lot done without overexerting and getting into that passionate type of mood. Because you know we're so influenced by Kali Yuga, we may not feel satisfied unless we're just really super busy. And then we may think, ah, yes, okay, this is what I should be doing. But it's more just a reflection of our passion, our propensity to become attached to the mode of passion. So, like, if, for example, if our program becomes such we can't chant our rounds nicely, then that we have to understand. There's a problem here, it needs to be addressed. If we can't do some reading regularly, then we should understand, yes, this is a problem now. It needs to be addressed. And if we're just running around, just running and running, then we should also understand that, you know, I may have a problem. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.